See, somebody said, you have not understood grace until you are keeping the law. I said, oh, 613 codes, including that your clothes must not have a mixture of cotton and linen. All you men here, I hope you know you are sinning. Not all, most. Why? You cut the corners of your hair. It was a sin. Are you getting my point? The Baba will cut your hair and say, let me carve it. I hope you know in Israel, it was a sin. Those people came and said, listen, you need to keep the laws of Moses if you will be saved. And let me tell you something, people like that are usually very, very interesting preachers. They can quote, quote and quote, they sway the whole of the church in Galatia. And for that reason, Paul was angry. Why was Paul angry? He said, you have made the blood of Christ of no effect. You are saying you need Moses now to be saved when Jesus has already come. He now began to show them that, listen, Moses is the old order. Jesus is the new order. The old order has been removed. He's the son of the bondwoman. This is the son of the free woman. This is the son of that Isaac, so to speak. So he has explained all of those things to them so that they will understand that, listen, and he was angry. That was one book he wrote. He didn't greet anybody. I've heard of your faith and your love towards the saints. For where? He introduced himself and said, I am amazed that you people have quickly departed from the truth. You know, you're now following fables. He got to a point, he said, oh, foolish Galatians. This is the interesting part. This was a man who wrote a letter to a church where a man took his father's wife. He greeted them. He said, you don't come behind in any gift. The same gift told them they were using it anyhow. You just be prophesying. Somebody's prophesying, thus is the Lord. Another person said, wait, the Lord is still talking through me. They were just confusion everywhere. They will come for communion. Some people will come with big bowl of food. Eat it by themselves. Say it's communion. Poor people will sit on one side. Rich people on the other side. The church in the Corinthian church. Yes, Paul greeted them nicely. The Galatian church, all they did was to start keeping the laws of Moses. And there was no greeting for them. What does that tell you? They were committing a worse sin. Eat it by themselves. Say it's communion. Poor people will sit on one side. Rich people on the other side. The church in the Corinthian church. Yes, Paul greeted them nicely. The Galatian church, all they did was to start keeping the laws of Moses. And there was no greeting for them. What does that tell you? They were committing a worse sin. They were committing a worse sin. That was what he was telling them. I hope you're getting my point here. Now, Paul, you know, sometimes you now say that, are we supposed to keep the law? Let me give you an example. I used to have this discussion with people. They will say, have you heard this expression before? That until you have finished paying your tithes, your offerings don't count. Have you heard that before? You haven't heard it before? Okay, maybe most of you went to Catholic churches. If you went to Pentecostal church, you'll have heard that. That is the law of Moses. It doesn't work like that under Christianity. No, it does not work like that. That's not Christianity. But people made those laws rigid. They were rigid about them. And Paul was angry. Now listen to what I want to say now. But some now said, now listen to me, follow me, this is very important. No, before I go to the other some. So those guys, the other side that Paul was angry with, they were following the law strictly. If you wanted to give, this is how you give. You first cut 10%. If you don't give it, you have not started giving. At the beginning of the year, if you don't give God everything, you have not given the first fruit and the second two fruit to be impure. Are you getting my point? Listen, Sunday, well, it's Saturday actually. Saturday is the Sabbath day. You can't do any other thing apart from read your Bible. And they were strict about them. Some of their women even said they went to hellfire. Dreamt, you know, in hell. They saw those who used makeup, they were in hellfire. These were the people that Paul was angry with. He said, listen, if you are walking like this, you are denying Christ. But there was another group. Now, not in the church in Galatia, in the Galatian church now, but they existed everywhere. Those ones say, we are not under the law. You know what that means? So we can do anything we like. We are saved by grace. Once you are saved, you are saved eternally. There is nothing that your body can do to pollute your spirit. You are a spirit man. Hallelujah. You know how you test some of these doctrines? It's simple. Watch the fruit over time. What I have found where they shout all those doctrines is immorality. People are untrustworthy. They are dubious in business. But they keep on hiding behind once saved, always saved. You know what? They don't know where that doctrine started from. That doctrine actually started. It's Calvinism, which says that God has ordained those who will be saved. And no matter what they do, he will make sure they are saved. That's where it began from. But let me not even go into that now. Now, they say that, so they live carelessly. Take out this money thing as an example. Pastor Banky said it's not your tithe that will make you prosper. So they are the stingiest creature that God ever made. Give offerings. Say, I'm not giving an offering. I don't need you to prosper. So they are wicked. Pastor will go hungry like this. They won't give him penka like this. Let's preach the gospel. They are building a house. Let's preach the gospel. They have another house in the village. They need to finish that one. When they say that this is not good, and I say, look, grace says that that's not what I need to prosper. I'm prospering by the sacrifice of Jesus, not because of my giving. They are the other extreme. They are the other extreme. They are the ones that now give Paul's doctrine a bad name. The man that says, I am not under the law, which is true. But for that reason, he now is now under no law. Are you getting my point? Paul said, no, now, you're not under the law of Moses, but you're under the law of Christ. They did not say that, look, I've not been saved by my works, so I cannot be condemned by my works. Have you heard that one before? Oh, it's very common. I've seen people, in fact, their names are popping in my face now. They will say, look, why you are always saved, once you are saved, is because your salvation, was it by works or by grace? Which one is it? Grace. Good. They say, if it was by grace, not by my works, it means I cannot be condemned by my works. It looks logical, right? Except that it's not even logical at all. It's very stupid. Let me tell you why it is stupid. Let me give you a very simple illustration here. Assuming now that Dangote likes me, and for that reason, he gave me $1 billion. He has it to give. All right? Have I become very rich? No, materially speaking, have I become very rich?
Yes.
Good. Was I made rich by my works? It was by works of who? Dangote. All I did was to do what? Receive it. Will it be right for me to now tell you that I have not been made rich by my works, I cannot be made poor by my works? I can decide to blow the $1 billion. I was made rich by the free gift of Aliko Dangote, but I become poor by the stupidity of my heart. The fact that you have not been saved by your own works does not mean you cannot be condemned because of your works. You have been saved as a gift of Christ. You can throw it away. That logic, it does not hold water even in common day. No, I mean, in common sense, it does not hold water. That is the fact that I have not been saved by my works. It therefore means that my works can never condemn me. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. I'm not even talking about the Bible, whether the Bible says it or the Bible doesn't say it. I'm talking about the logic. The logic does not hold water. It does not hold water. The fact that I was made rich as a free gift does not mean I cannot become poor by my inactions or my bad actions. But let's talk about that extreme. So there's some people went to that extreme. They now threw the law of Moses away entirely, which they should. I have no problem with that. But they did not receive the law of Christ in the process. They were now lawless. So that's why a man was bold enough to come to church in Corinth, living in adultery. Because he felt, by grace I have been saved through faith, not by my works. So the fact that I took my father's wife is my father's problem. It's my flesh, my spirit is pure. Anything I do, it happened when I was in school. The doctrine started when I was leaving school those days. Now it has resurrected itself now. You now call it hyper grace. No, Paul said it's not like that. Paul said it's not like that. It is not true that no matter what you do, grace covers you. It is true that nothing can take you away from the grace of Christ. But it is not true that you cannot throw away the grace of Christ. You can. And we have a lot of scriptures to show it. In Hebrews chapter 6, Paul said it. Well, the writer said it. Paul said it to the Romans also. In Romans chapter 11, he said, listen, you too can also be cut off. He said, therefore, fear. What was he trying to explain? Nothing can take you away, but you can walk away. One man actually said it, a prominent American preacher. He said, the grace is so strong that even if a Christian begins to live for all practical purposes like an unbeliever, the grace of God can never let him be condemned. Listen to me, people of God, it is not true. Paul didn't say that. Paul said, let us fear. That was what he said. All right? Now, that's the background behind the book of Galatians. Let's now read that portion I wanted us to read for us to be able to understand what it means to worship God in spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Let me just start from verse 13. Paul said, you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. So you see, you are called to freedom, you are in freedom, but that must not be turned into an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He said, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. He now said, verse 16, but I say, walk in the Spirit, or walk by the Spirit, the same thing. The Greek word there is the same. Remember, Jesus said like this, those that worship him will worship him, how? In spirit and in truth. Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit sets its desire against the flesh. And these are in opposition to one another. As a result, you will find that you are not doing the things that you please, because the flesh is fighting what the Spirit is wishing for. He said, but if every decision you make is like this, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, these are the deeds of those who allow the flesh to win. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, that is, all decisions are based on what can I get. Idolatry, sorcery. In case you don't know, this sorcery is prayer. As I'm closing my eye, my enemy, die, die. That is what it is. Sorcery. Enmities. Strife. We know that means jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this. Of which, now listen to this, of which I forewarn you. Please, who preached grace? Who told us we are saved by grace? The same Paul said, I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you. That is, those of you who are living carelessly, I'm warning you. I have already warned you before. That those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You are saved by grace. Practice these things long enough, you will lose it. He said, but those who let the Spirit win, by sowing their seeds into the Spirit, this is what happens to them. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If you live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Now, I've read all of this. Let me just summarize it. We'll end it here and pick it up from here tomorrow. And please, when you are coming tomorrow, ask me every kind of question around the things we have been talking about. Please don't bring questions that... My pastor said that it's wrong for Buhari to have pardoned the Boko Haram fighter. What do you think? Please. I will not answer you. My neighbor and I are fighting over who will fetch water first in the morning. I will not answer you. Ask me questions that have to do with things we have been talking about that you need clarity about, both on a doctrinal level and in your personal life when you need to make some important decisions. I normally like when we do seminars like this, the time we spend answering questions. I'm willing to stay here for 2 straight hours answering questions and explaining things. I'm willing. So please get ready tomorrow. Write your questions down. I will not give you the microphone. I insist you write your question down. You know why? When you put microphone, question can long. Thank you very much. And that thing you say, okay, now, last year, story no go stop now. But when you say writing, to write the hard. So they go straight to the question. There will be no time to even pray for me. You know, when they get on the microphone, Pastor, God will bless you. But then spend the first 5 minutes blessing me and my family and my co-workers. The question just goes straight. So we'll write it down. All right, you can write them from home. And when you come, we'll have a piece of paper ready for people to write. Okay, so that will be tomorrow. But let's just continue explaining this. And then we'll end with this one this evening, or end in the next few minutes. Now, we're talking about worshiping God in spirit. God says something to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 17. He said, I, the Lord, I test the heart. I search the mind. I want to know what's going on in your heart before you do what you are doing. We read from Isaiah chapter 29 that people serve God by rote. They memorize things. Their hearts are not in it. They draw close with their mouths and with the external things, but their hearts are far away. And what God wants is worship that involves the heart. Are you getting my point? Now, that is actually what the Bible was talking when talking about the spirit. What do I mean by that? Let me explain that issue that Paul was saying better. Sometimes Christians will say, especially Pentecostals, that I don't do anything except my spirit tells me. And what they mean is that I pray until the Holy Spirit, God directs something into my heart by the voice of the Holy Spirit. Please, I want to recommend my book, Guided by the Spirit. I wrote that book to explain that thing properly. I don't have the time to teach it now. We really should do a seminar on that, Guided by the Spirit. Apostle, we should. And answer a lot of questions. Christians will tell you that my spirit said, and that's supposed to mean that they heard the voice of God. I don't have time to go into details now, not necessarily. It doesn't really mean like that. But Paul was not saying, when he says walk in the spirit or walk by the spirit, he was not saying, close your eyes and pray. Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? Then whatever enters your heart, you walk by it and you say you are walking by the spirit. That is what Pentecostals often say it means, but that is not what it means. What was Paul saying? Listen to this. What is the spirit in this context? The spirit is the thing that's behind every law that is given. Are you getting my point? Everything that God gave as a law through Moses, there was a spirit behind it. Let me give you an example. This, the law of tithing that he gave them, he made it clear that it was so that they would learn the fear of God in that area. And what did he mean by that? There were three things they were supposed to do. Number one, they were supposed to take care of the poor, the stranger, the widow, the orphan. That was one. Number two, they were supposed to take care of the priesthood. And then number three, they were supposed to give thanks to God on a regular basis with their substance. Those three things were commanded. And God had to write it down for them in a law because they were not good people. I don't know whether you're getting my point. They were not good people. They were bad people. This is what happens to bad people. When you give them freedom, they do what their flesh wants. This is how you know bad people. If you say then that tithing is not compulsory, they will never give to the church. In fact, 1991, my friend and I, 1991, were discussing about this. Because the opinion I had on money matter is not today I found it. I've been studying these things since 1987, 88, thereabout. So that around 1991, a friend of mine and I were talking. When I finished speaking, he said something. If what we are saying, we are supposed to operate by it, the church will never have money. Because Christians will never just get up and go and give to church. I said to him, okay, so you admit, therefore, this is about money raising. This thing was just starting that time. Thank God it's ending now. Thanks to Daddy Freeze and Co. All right? It was just starting that time. But I told him, I said, my brother, it's not about whether we get money or we don't get money. It's about whether it is true or it is not true. Now, back to what I'm trying to say. That is how it is with bad people. When you give bad people liberty, they do their flesh. But Christians are not supposed to be bad people. When you give good people liberty, they are very generous. And I know a lot of good people. They don't believe in proportions, but when you see their generosity, you'll be challenged. I hope you're getting my point here. So you see, the people of Israel, they were bad people. How do I know? Jesus said it as much. Moses said, you can divorce your wives. So they came to Jesus. Can we divorce our wives? Jesus said in the beginning it was not so. He that made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And whatever God has so joined together, nobody should put asunder. They said, but Moses said we could divorce our wives. They opened the Bible for him. Look at it here. Moses, you say you are a man of God. Didn't you read your Bible? They will quickly open the scroll and say, Moses said, give her a certificate of divorce and let her go. And Jesus said, I know Moses said that, but in the beginning it was not so. He that made them male and female. What Moses told you was because of the hardness of your heart. You were stubborn people. So God had to reduce his commandments to fit your stubbornness. You are of your father, the devil. He said it, you've been evil. You are evil people. Many of Moses' commandments were commandments given to wicked people who will never do what is right except you command it. You know, God had to command them on how to give to their neighbors. He said, when you won a shirt, when you've won it 10 times, or you've washed it 10 times, it is enough. Give to the person who does not have. So God told them how to count. He said, hey, when did he say so? He said it like this. When you're harvesting your field, anything falls behind, leave it behind. Because he knew that once they harvest and reach home, they're not giving anybody anything. He said, well, if you see the animal of your enemy fall into a ditch, you must not harden your heart against him. You will bring out the animal and tie it to a stick and to a tree, and then you go. He gave them commandments on small, small things. Why? He said, I know those who I'm dealing with, oh, they are wicked people. Even when it came to worshiping God, he gave them one commandment. He said, Moses is not enough. Expand that commandment to three. The first three commandments were one commandment. Moses had to break it into three. So that these people, because they will find a way around it. No, human beings are like that. There are things I tell my wife not to do. Even an adult like that. When you see her, I say, okay, just leave it now. Now to talk about children. One day my little son, when he was born that time, when we go to visit my parents-in-law, because his grandmother was so fond of him, you can imagine. That was her first grandson. She had another grandchild, but that was not in the country. So this is one grandchild she used to see. So imagine how fond of him. You know, just of you and grandmothers, know what I'm talking about. So anytime we'll go, the boy, he used to enjoy the visit. He will leave us his parents and go and stay in his grandmother's room. Sleep on the bed there. For one particular day, it was with me and my wife in the room. Just got up. Where are you going? I want to go and stay with my grandmother. And he just walked away. If you see, the attitude was like, you two wicked people that don't appreciate my coming into your life.
And of course, as soon as they entered his grandmother, his grandparents' room, the grandmother would say, ah, do you want chocolate? Do you want juice? Do you want this? Which was why he went there. So one day like that, he was about to go. I said, oh boy, come back. When you get there, you're not drinking tea. And I said, you're not drinking juice. No coke. No malt. Because he was a little boy, he will bed wet. You know the way it is. And then I said, I didn't want trouble, stomach pain in the morning. So I gave him all the instructions. He said, okay, good night. Be a good boy. He went there. So he sat down in the room. They changed the TV in the room to a cartoon for him. He sat down. And the grandmother said, ah, will you like a bottle of malt? Said, my daddy said she didn't drink malt. Okay, do you want Coke? My daddy said I should not drink Coke. Do you want Fanta? My daddy said I shouldn't drink Fanta. What about juice? My daddy said no juice. After a while, the grandmother said, would you like tea? He didn't mention tea. Oh. So the boy sat down. His grandmother made him a big cup of Milo. He sat down there and drank it. It was tomorrow morning we found out that, as far as we're concerned, he was a good boy. He obeyed all the instructions. But because, and he has a very good memory, because I omitted to specifically mention tea. Listen to me. That is how natural man behaves. So when God told them, you will worship only one God, he said, no problem. We know how to do it. God told Moses, write the second commandment. The first commandment was that, thou shalt have no other God besides me. They said, no problem. Should be the only God we go serve. What is his name? I am Jehovah. Which one do you want to go? Shaddai. Just write, no problem. Then they were about to go and cut tree and carve Jehovah. Moses quickly added the next line. You shall not make any image of anything in the heavens. On the earth, when you came to the mountain, did you see anything? No, you only heard a voice. Do you understand? It's all right, we won't make anything. All right. See that temple of who? Dagon. We are worshiping who? Jehovah. We can't make any image of him. But some people have made an image. Clean the Dagon away from it and write on it, Jehovah. So God quickly told Moses, go and give them another commandment. Moses had to, one commandment expanded into three. The third one is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God and place it on a vain thing. That is the third commandment. Most of already like this. Thou shalt not take the name of thy God in vain. What Moses said is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God and place it on a vain thing. So one, they worship one God. No problem. But don't make an image of him. So they say, no problem. We'll make an image of him. But if we find fine images, we'll put his name on it. That was why God gave them the third commandment. Why? They were natural people. They're always trying to go round it. But when he gave those commandments, we Christians don't need any one of them. We don't. We know God, the Father of our Lord Jesus. We cannot, even if we wanted to, because we know Jesus, we cannot worship any other God besides him. It's not possible. Jesus appeared in the flesh. He has gone up to glory. He resurrected. We know where he is. We are not carving any image for anybody. And he's superior to every other God. When we see the assurance, we break them down. When we preach the gospel to people, they bring all their idols. We burn them. We don't need a commandment. We know Jesus too much. What am I going to say? That is the spirit of the law. The first three commandments, that's the spirit. A personal relationship with God, not through physical things, but through our spirit. Because God is spirit. So anybody who understands that does not need anybody to say, thou shalt not make an image. We can't make an image. We have read enough Bible to know that the heavens can't contain him. We know that the earth is his footstool. What image are we going to make? Any image you make, we degrade him. We degrade him. Any image we make. So it doesn't come to us. And then for goodness sake, it's alive in our hearts. Why do we need an image? Every time you have churches build images because of him, they are degrading him. We know it's in our homes. We know it's in our hearts. That's why we don't follow commandments. People say, Moses' commandments, they are inferior to our revelation. What did Moses know? But, listen to this, because we have the Spirit, we don't live carelessly. I hope you're getting my point here.
Yes, sir.
We don't say, oh, we don't need Moses' commandments. Yes, we don't need it because we hyper-keep what is more than it. I mean, take an example of a marriage as an example. What we practice, listen to me, even Abraham could not practice it. What we Christians decree for ourselves, Abraham couldn't do it. Let me give an example. If your wife can't have you a child or something, if you take your maid, we will excommunicate you. Can't you see that? If a man desires more children and he takes his maid, the way Jacob's wives gave their maids to him, we will excommunicate him. What we practice, Jacob couldn't practice it. Abraham could not practice it. When it comes to marriage, believe me, the standard God set for us is higher than that of Abraham. It is higher. It is higher. It is much higher. So we don't need their commandments. So when you say that, don't divorce, we don't need that commandment. The two shall become one flesh. That was why, despite everything, with all the quote liberty, when the church was confused in Corinth, Paul said, Jesus said, I should tell you, no matter how bad it is, if both of you are Christians, you can never divorce yourselves. He said, what if he takes a gun and he wants to kill me? He said, move to the house across the street. Don't live with him anymore. But you can never take another husband. You, man, you can never take another wife. You have been bound together in one spirit and even in the flesh. Till death does you part, you will never take another wife. You can't separate, oh, I have no problem with it. He said, the man is so violent, he will kill me one day. He said, move to America. Move to Ghana. Go away from him. But my sister, while you are in Ghana, if any man approaches you, show him your ring. I am married. Where's your husband? He's an idiot. He's in Nigeria. Same thing with the man. When they see you rich, nice guy that you are at work, they will offer you all kinds of things. Tell them, say, oh girl, I decrease, but not reach that level. Look at my ring. I am married. Where's your wife? She's a witch, but she's in Ghana. You know what Paul said? That is a commandment of Jesus, not me. Jesus said, I should tell you that. He said, but I'm only 32. Hey, will I believe it like a widow? He said, then find a way to reconcile to your husband. He said, but the man is too wicked. Better go and pray. If you realize that there's no way you are going, your prayer will change you. Some people say that Jesus said we should blind our eyes. Was it literal? First, he said if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. People say, was it literal? First, let me tell you something. Okay, let me give you my answer. One, Jesus used to exaggerate some things when he wants to talk to make his point. For example, he'll tell you, you swallow a camel and strain out an ant. What does that tell you? He was just trying to make a point. How can one person swallow a camel? It's a camel that will swallow you. But having said that, I believe with the issue of eye, he probably was literal. If your eye is causing you to sin, remove it. Jesus meant it. You say, I should pluck out my eye. No, let me say what he was trying to say. What he was saying is that, if you say, every time I see a woman, I can't control myself. He said, if you know castration is the next level, you will find out to control yourself. All this one of say I can't control myself is that they are not castrating you yet. If you find a gun to your head, you will know self-control. I don't know whether you are getting my point. That was what Jesus meant. He said, my eye is causing me to stop. If you know tomorrow is the eye removing ceremony. Listen, you will come today and say, praise the Lord, my God is able. Since yesterday, I have not looked at any bad thing. God in heaven is my witness. When I'm walking, I have this special goggles that helps me only see the sun. Because you don't want to lose your eyes. I hope you are getting my point. I'm talking about worshiping God in spirit. Every law has a spirit.
every law. So when Moses was giving them those commandments, Jesus understood the spirit behind the commandments. For example, the commandment of Sabbath. Those who took it to an extreme. Ha! Jesus said, this Sabbath was given so you can have rest. So you can tap into God's blessings. How can I come now to give rest to the sick? You say I can't give it on a Sabbath day. What was the reason for the Sabbath in the first place? You see somebody who's been sick all these years. Try bend over like this for 1 hour. Yet a woman was bent over for 12 years. And you are saying I shouldn't give her rest. If your body has been paining you, you will know that relief is rest. Are you getting my point? Have you ever maybe been constipated or you have stomach pains or you are pressed to empty your bowels and there's no toilet around? And then finally, they open one door. You see one clean WC like this. And they give you one nice, you know, roll of tissue. Soft, fluffy. As soon as you put on the switch, you know, there are rooms like that, the evacuator fan will come on to remove all your offering into outer space. I don't know about you, but when you sit down like that and the Lord gives you release, you know that feeling? I'm not lying to you. There are times I put up my hand and say, Father, I worship. This is ordinary bowel movement. How much more? Somebody who has been in pain for years. So Jesus said, for goodness sake, what stupid law are you trying to obey that I cannot heal this woman on the Sabbath day? Say, you people are wicked. You don't understand the concept of Sabbath. Sabbath was a day we gave rest. Was a day to ease a woman from her sickness. All these years. But they didn't understand. For them, Sabbath was what? Legalism. Did you move your hand on a Sabbath? It sounds funny. Those people were that, they were serious. Do you know, in Israel, till today, lift, when you want to enter lift, what do? You press the button. They hire Gentiles to press the button. That if you press the button, you are walking on a Sabbath day. Jesus looked at them and said, people, you are worshiping by rote. You just memorized something. The spirit is not with you. What is worship? Worship is for us to understand the spirit behind the law. Paul said, if you understand the spirit of the law, which is actually love, two laws, loves there. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, without thy soul, with all thy might. And number two, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Upon these two commandments. He said, if you operate by that all the time, you will find out that you are not subject to the laws of Moses, because you will be operating higher every time than the laws of Moses. What is worshiping God in spirit? It is not to copy actions. You don't lie down because everybody is lying down. God says, maybe you want to rest your body, but it's not me you are worshiping. But there are times that you are just happy. You are just grateful. What I told you just now about toilet, I was not joking. There are times I literally put up my hand and say, Jesus, thank you. In case you don't know, I work in a hospital. And I've seen all kinds of sicknesses. Yesterday, I still signed out reports diagnosing 32-year-olds of cancer of the rectum. They can't use the toilet again. The doctor is taking them to the theater next week and removing their whole colon. I'll put a bag beside them here. This is how you poo from now on. If you live long, most likely they will not live long. I see that every day. Yesterday, two, one a girl, one a man, both of them in their 30s. When I sit on the toilet, that is why I put up my hands and I say, I have no
other God but you. That's why I worship him. Not because somebody says thank him. I have seen sick people. I have seen. I work in the hospital. If I thank God for health, I have seen people in pain. I have seen. I don't need to give me a commandment to thank God. I don't need it. That's what he meant, that those that worship him, we worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why I've been married for 18 years. My wife has never heard me grumble about what I don't have. Never. Never. And I married her when I had next to nothing. I have never. Because I know God in heaven will have to personally discipline me. If I open my mouth, this country is bad. If you go to America now, you are an idiot when you talk like that. You're a spiritual buffoon. There's too many things to be grateful to God for. Too many things. People wake up every morning, all they do is give, complain. Then they go to church on Sunday. We worship you, creator of the heavens and the earth. We worship you, the God that made the stars. We worship you, El Elyon, El Adonai, El Shammah, El Rohi, El this. They be calling all kinds of El El. God said, if I slap your mouth, you become El. They are calling me names. When you cross the road, you abuse Willie from now till tomorrow. When you jump the gutter, you go curse Buhari. You wish the day the man was born is erased from the calendar. When you get home, there's no light. You will wonder the kind of country you are living in. I'm not held anything until you enter this church. But once you enter, you're the head of the choir. Lord, we worship you. You are the great God. We worship you. Begin to worship him tonight. It's all act. God is not looking at you. Say, were it not for mercy, I don't kill somebody. Because were it not for mercy, I would have ended some people rapidly. You think you have reason to complain? Listen to me. Israel had reasons to complain, yet they perished in the wilderness for grumbling. They had reasons to complain, but they perished in the wilderness for grumbling. I'm not bragging about it. For over 20 years, I have not complained about what I don't have. I have not. The Bible says, associate with the lowly. You know what that means? I compare myself to those who don't even have what I have. If you get to America now, I think in my mind, if you get to Burundi now, that's our reason. So in Europe, I said, me, I think in Syria. Hey, look, the way the government is in Germany. I said, in Libya, there is no government. Oh, that's how I do my own. So you see, in Canada, that's where all Nigerians are selling their destiny to now. You know, in Canada, you see, my own, in Yemen, there's a Houthi rebel. Supported by, being fought by Saudi Arabia, supported by Iran. America is arming this. Bombing on the left, shooting on the right, attacks in front, collapse behind. No peace for anybody. To him that goes out and him that comes in, there is no peace. That's what I will tell you. The Bible says, associate with the lowly. So each time I raise my hands to say, thank you, Jesus, it's not a joke. And when I say thank you, Jesus, my own Jesus, thank you. Few people understand it too. But it's because of understanding. Ever since I read Genesis, and I realized, no, I have children. When I look at them sometimes, I've not done that in a while, when they were much smaller. I will remember. There are people like me, born years ago. Many of them were taken to the United States as slaves. And when the slave master needed money, he sold their children. So I will look. I would just say, somebody will take my akindu and sell him in front of me. And I know the only reason why it doesn't happen anymore is because of Jesus. And I worship you. Jesus, I thank you that my son will never be a slave to anybody. Those that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. What it means is that they will have reasons to worship him. They will know him personally. They won't be obeying commandments that say, rise up to worship. No, there are times they just find themselves with their hands in the air worshiping. Why? They just see what God has done for them. There are people that God will establish them in families. They will look at themselves. Maybe you are here, you're a woman. And listen, and all you'll be thinking about is that, you mean a girl that lived like me can have this kind of home? It is not my doing. It is God that did this. And you start to worship him. That is what they call worship in spirit and in truth. They are not worshiping that, I want to collect something. No. Like I was listening to Bishop Edipo again today. He said, even God stops answering prayers. He said this many years ago. He said, for the ones he has answered, let's be thanking him. He said, I need all the life I have to thank him for the ones he has answered, even if he stops today answering prayers. People of God, let me stop it here. Let's rise to our feet and worship. We'll pick it up from here tomorrow. How to worship God in truth. Just thank him that you are saved. That's what we're talking about. I'm not looking for anything. Just want to say, thank you, I'm saved. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for salvation. Say, Lord, I thank you for salvation. Thank you for forgiveness. Why am I not HIV positive? Was it not because of your mercy? Say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Why am I not dead? You remember twice you will have died. One of them in a car accident. Why are you not dead? Is that not mercy? That's why we say thank you. That's why we worship. I saw one girl on TV once, those early days of HIV. She was HIV positive. She said, I didn't know. She said, I thought it was for prostitutes. He said, I've only had one boyfriend in my life, but the man gave her HIV. If God has shown you mercy this evening, put up your hands and say, thank you for your mercy. Say, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Say, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Say, Jesus, thank you for you forgive. Your forgiveness is really tangible. Thank you, I'm not a slave anymore. And I will not sell myself to anybody as a slave. Say, Jesus, thank you. So, Jesus, I worship you for who you are. Father, I worship you for who you are. Thank you because you are my life. You are the reason why I'm healthy. You are the reason why I'm healthy. You are the reason why I don't have hope. Were it not for you, I would have accepted what the doctor said. But I'm expecting healing, Jesus, because of you. I'll give you glory. Just worship God. Worship God this evening. Worship him in truth. Not because of what you are going to get, but because of who he is. Because of who you are, I will lift my hands and sing. Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are. Just worship him. Say, Lord, I worship you. You are good. Your mercy endures forever. Lord, I worship you. Your mercy endures forever. Lord, I worship you. Your mercy endures forever.
Let's keep worshiping him. Just raise the hearts of thanksgiving and say, Lord, we give you praise. Thank you. Begin to think of the benefits of the Lord and just give him thanks. Lord, thank you, Lord, for that person you healed. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance. Thank you, Lord, because you did not expose us. You covered our shame and you gave us glory. Let's give him praise. that thing you did, and you just say, if God has exposed me, but in his mercy, he kept you. Give him praise this evening. Just take some time and give him praise. That is worship, that you reflect on the goodness of God, and from your heart you give him thanks. Lord, we bless your name. We are grateful, Lord. Father, we bless your name. Let's sincerely, and we complained when because we are ignorant. We complained, Lord, because we are blind to your benefits. We complained, Lord, because we are deceived. We complained, Lord, because our eyes were not on you. We complained, Lord, because we just forgot of your benefits. Let's say, Lord, have mercy on me. For every time I complained about a job, Lord, I ask for mercy. For every time I complained about the government, Lord, have mercy on me. For every time I complained about the bad roads, Lord, have mercy on me. I'd like you to go to God and say, Lord, have mercy on me. For every complaint I have made, I ask for mercy. Because I see that a lot of good things you have done for me, but I've been blind to it. I've seen your mercy. I can talk of your goodness. I can sing of your grace and your mercy. Lord, as a church, on behalf of the church, on behalf of the state, we say, Lord, have mercy on us. We say, Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. From today, Lord, we choose to see the good things that you have done for us. We choose to see the good things that you are doing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Say it like you mean it. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Say, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Declare it. Say, Jesus is Lord. Over my life, Jesus is Lord. Over my family, Jesus is Lord. Over Anambra State, Jesus is Lord. Over Nigeria, Jesus is Lord. Say, in the name of Jesus, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Say, in the name of Jesus, all things are new. Say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I count my blessings. And I give praise to God. Say, in the name of Jesus, Christ is working in me. The word of God is at work in me. Say, Satan has no place in me. Declare like you mean it. Say, Satan has no place in me. Darkness has no place in me. Say, I walk in the light of Christ. Say, in the name of Jesus, I walk in the light of Christ. Say, I am seated with Christ. Far above principalities and power. Say, far above principalities and power. Say, I am seated with Christ. Say, in the name of Jesus, I do those things that please God. Say, I do those things that please God. Because Christ dwells in me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I delight myself in the Lord. My delight is to do his will. My delight is to serve him. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and just give God praise in 1 minute. Say, Lord, I thank you for your word this evening. I give you praise for your word. Thank you, Lord, indeed for your word that you have brought this evening. If you've eaten well, you should thank God. If God spoke to you this evening, you should thank him. Lord, we give you praise in the name of Jesus. We bless your name. We thank you. We bless your name. Thank him from the depth of your heart. Bless the name of Jesus. Say, we give you praise. We give you praise. Thank the Lord. He has blessed you. He has filled you with the knowledge of his will. You are now like him. Lord, we give you praise. Blessed be the name of Jesus.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death. And we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ.
We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication, dominion, and shining in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is my season of multiplication, dominion, and shining in the name of Jesus. Bless somebody beside you. This is your season of multiplication, dominion, and shining in the name of one more person. This is your season of multiplication, dominion, and shining in the name of Jesus. All right, cheer up, brethren. God bless you.